Hello, friends, and welcome to the Amazing Health Summit. I want to welcome those who are joining us online on the various television networks across the country and around the world. Thank you for being a part of this special summit. I'd also like to welcome those who braved the stormy weather to come out tonight and join us here in person. Thank you for being here. Now, we've been looking forward to this health summit for a number of months in preparing for this. We've had a chance to meet with some excellent speakers, and they'll be sharing some very practical and useful information for you. My name is John Ross. I work with the Amazing Facts International Ministry. I'm also one of the pastors here, the Hilltop Church. And I did have some announcements, some things that are important for this upcoming weekend. I hope you all received, those who are here in person, received a little flyer like this on your way in. On the back, it lists the schedule for the whole weekend. You'll also notice a little QR code in the bottom right corner. Now, that's kind of special. If you take your phone and you put it on camera and you put it over that QR card, you'll have an opportunity to tap the link. It'll take you to our Q&A page. You don't have to register. You don't have to put in your email or anything like that. Just tap the link. You'll be able to then type your question related to health. You'll also be able to read the questions that other people have posted. You can vote on their questions, and it'll move them up and down. And tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a panel discussion. We're going to have all of our speakers up here on the stage, and they'll be answering your questions related to health. And so take advantage of that. You've got this evening, of course, all of tomorrow to post your health question. And we'll try to answer as many of those as we can. Also want to remind you, we do have a free gift that we'd like to give you. For those who are here in person, we will have this available at the end of the program this evening. It is one of Amazing Facts' more popular magazine called Amazing Health Facts. And this is absolutely free. It's yours. We'll give it to you as you leave. For those who are watching online, if you'd like to receive this free gift, all you'll need to do is text the word wholesome to the number 40544, or you can visit afsummit.org. Again, text the word wholesome to 40544, or visit afsummit.org. Again, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being here this evening. At this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Doug Batchelor, speaker and president of Amazing Facts. He is going to introduce our speaker for this evening and open our program with a word of prayer.
I snuck up behind him. Good evening, friends. So glad to see each of you here, and want to welcome those who are also watching either online or on AFTV. And we're having a blizzard in Northern California, so I really appreciate all the Eskimos that came out. During this program, I know Pastor Ross, he had to put on his snowshoes just about to get down here tonight. We sure appreciate that. But we've got an exciting weekend ahead of us. During this Amazing Health Summit, we're going to be talking about how you can have longer, stronger life. And you're also going to be having more life, better quality, and learning how to have a more abundant life. And so we're going to be dealing with the physical and the mental and the spiritual aspects of health with a biblical foundation. Now, I don't want to take any more time away from our presenter. Dr. Laren Tan is going to be sharing with us in our first presentation. He's going to be talking, in essence, about healthy habits, but I'll let him introduce that. Dr. Tan is the Associate Professor of Medicine and serves as Chair for the Department of Medicine in Loma Linda. He's Assistant Dean of Continuing Medical Education for Loma Linda University School of Medicine, Medical Director of Loma Linda University Faculty Medical Group Creative Innovation, Communication, and Branding, Creator and Director of Loma Linda University Comprehensive Program for Obstructive Airway Diseases, and the Associate Director for Loma Linda University Health Advanced Lung Disease Center. And that's one-third of his introduction, but I'm going to stop there. He's extremely well-qualified, and as Karen said, he's a friend of our family. He and his wife, Heidi, have three children, and we're just so thankful that Dr. Tan is here, going to be sharing. Also a friend, helped me quite a bit when I had COVID about a year ago, which we sure appreciate, and so we're going to be blessed, I know, tonight. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we believe that you draw near in a special way when your people come together to seek your face and to better understand your will. We know that Jesus came and he wants us to have life and life more abundantly. And we pray that we'll be blessed in a special way through this presentation and those that will follow, that we might be draw closer to you and learn how to experience better health and to share that with others as well. We thank you and consecrate this time to your glory and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can join me by giving a good amen as we welcome Dr. Tan.
There. Pastor Doug, thank you. You know, I know it's cold, but in a lot of ways, it's a blessing. And I think for many things, there are a lot of things that go on in life, and sometimes things that we don't think, you know, such as the cold air, could actually be helpful in other areas. And so I'm thankful for that. I am humbled and honored to actually be here, especially as one of the panel speakers. To be able to be following or even friend of Daniel and Jessica Vieira, Dr. Neil Nedley, Dr. Bynus, and Pastor Doug. I know that we've got a powerful lineup coming up. And as what Pastor Doug has stated, it's really not about what I've done. I feel it's really more about where God has led and where God continues to lead his people. And I am humbled to be able to be part of that. This is going to be a two-part series. I'm going to be sharing at least two pillars of six key lifestyle practices. And I believe the other speakers, especially Pastor Doug, will be actually highlighting a lot of what I'll be going over. But I think that there's power in repetition, and I hope that you'll bear with me especially as we talk about more about these things tomorrow. Before we begin, I just ask that you will pray for me, and let's just bow our heads just one more time. Lord, I just ask that your words will be heard. I pray that there are so many out there that are hurting and just need your help. And I just ask that you will somehow just intervene. I thank you for this moment. May you and only you be honored and glorified. Amen. So as you can see, there's going to be actually up on actually, we can say what my talk's going to end up being. It's going to be the power of what if and could have in prevention. As what Pastor Doug had previously stated, I am a pulmonologist. Basically, I am a lung doctor, but I also specialize in those that are really ill. So I'm also a critical care specialist. Aside from serving many wonderful physicians back at Loma Linda as the chair of Department of Medicine, I also want to take this moment to be able to say that today is Thank a Resident Physician Day. I don't know if many of you knew, or perhaps you may have a niece, a nephew, or your child is a resident right now, but February 24th is Thanks a Resident Physician Day. So I just wanted to thank all our resident physicians out there. And the reason why I'm saying this is because my journey after being a resident at Loma Linda started here in Sacramento when I was a pulmonary and critical care fellow at UC Davis. And it was actually being at UC Davis that led us to be able to be better acquainted than Sac Central, then Granite Bay, and by God's grace, here we are, right? And so this has definitely been a journey, and Sacramento has always been a second home to me and also our family. But the journey continues. And as I was preparing for this talk and also looking at the title, I asked, well, God, how can I actually present what you want to actually be heard? And something popped up on my phone. I don't know about you, but on your cell phone, do you have something that comes up and it says, 1 year ago, this picture comes up. I'm seeing a lot of yeses, right? And it says, and you can slide through and see what that memory actually was. I'm going to share with you what popped out just earlier this month. And it was February 10th, 2 years ago to this date. Now, I know the picture may be small, but bear with me on this. This photo was sent to me on February 10th, and it was actually taken back in December of 2021. And of course, you can see that in this picture, there is, in the middle, there's actually a patient laying there, and to the left is a respiratory therapist. And holding that patient's hand is a nurse, our intensive care unit nurse, and that's me in the back to the right. And this picture was taken by the LA Times during a very, very difficult time. Of course, this was during the COVID-19 surge. It's tough, right? And I just, by a raise of hands, how many maybe personally or you knew somebody that was actually affected by COVID-19, right? I mean, and even till this day, I think there's still a lot that's going on. But as I look at that, and as that memory popped up on my phone, I reflected on three different things. The first one is, we need to prepare the world for Christ's second coming. Amen? The second was more personally, perhaps for me, which is, Lord, please come soon. The third is that there is such great work that needs to be done to prevent illness. Because in that little small phrasing right there, it states that the ICU patients that we were seeing time and time again before we were placed on life support, which was what we were about to do, were patients who had multiple health issues. And of those health issues, how many were preventable? And that I felt was where the Lord wanted me to be able to take this to. And so it's so timely that we're talking about this. Now, the next three slides I'm going to share with you, I promise you, are really just, that's it. Like, it's only going to be just the data slides. Now, you know I'm a true academic person because it's a lot of information. The font's very small. But bear with me on this because this is a slide that shows from the CDC all the various different, we could say, high-risk comorbidities or health illnesses that led to a more or worse outcome when you actually got COVID-19. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this, but I just wanted to be able to highlight that of those, cerebral vascular disease, chronic kidney disease, diabetes type 2, coronary vascular disease, obesity, smoking, and as I'm naming these things, you can't help but think, aren't some of these things preventable? Aren't some of these things that I'm mentioning, if we actually had a better lifestyle, we could actually prevent? And I get that. There are some things that are out of control, but some things just really are in our control. Now, is this only unique to us? What was it in Canada? Again, similarly, the same thing. And what is, I would want to note more on this, is that you see these tiny little dots. And basically, the farther the dot is to the right, the more likely you were going to end up dying from COVID if you had these comorbidities or different health illnesses. And again, it's very small, but COPD, high blood pressure, diabetes type 2, chronic kidney disease, liver diseases. Are you getting kind of the theme on this? Is this a North American problem? Perhaps it's only just us. That's not the case. It was the same thing also in Europe. And again, the same diseases kept popping up. This is a global thing, right? And so the message that we have as a church, again, applies to everyone, not just here in Sacramento, not just in the United States, but globally. And so the point is, when we ask, how much can I do, right? Especially when it comes to actually preventing perhaps these health illnesses. Now, by following these six lifestyle practices, imagine this. You can reduce your risk of diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and some cancers by up to 70 to 90%. Now, you see that these are the six lifestyle practices. I am going to be able to only just target today. I'm going to be talking about healthy living and healthy some of the habits, and that's going to be along lines of avoid risky substances. And tomorrow, I'll be talking a little bit more about physical activity. But I suspect the rest of the speakers after me and even tomorrow will be touching all of this. And I think that is really in tune with our health message. So the three key points, right? The prevention of health-related diseases requires healthy living, healthy choices, and a healthy lifestyle. And to achieve these three things, I believe we actually need a team. But before I even tell you a little bit more about the team and where the inspiration also came from, I wanted to share with you this text. Right? Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Now, why am I sharing this with you? And that is because through fervent prayer, I was asking and really just praying, Lord, I have been trained to actually take care of patients that were on the brink of death. My training is not primarily focused on the prevention of things, but actually trying to save those on the brink of death. And who you needed, Lord, someone to speak in front of you today was really someone who was more equipped to talk about prevention. And the Lord answered this prayer. He led me to actually this team here. In the back, you will see is really a friend, is the department chair of preventive medicine at Loma Linda, is Dr. April Wilson. To the right of her is Rosa Casares, in the front, Sylvia Kramer, Lindy Chin, and then Christina Reyes. And why I'm sharing you with this is because it just so happened April and I connected, and she said, "Laren, what's going on?" And I said, "April, I'm struggling. I need help." And she said, "We've got this program. Did you know that?" Like a lot of things, no. But when she told me this, it just fit right in. And I felt it was an answered prayer. And so tonight, I'm so excited to be able to share with you, tonight and tomorrow also, a little glimpse of what the Health 180 program is about, and also that it's been validated to actually work in preventing a lot of health diseases. So amazing team that you see before you, but the man before you that you see up in front of this stage is far from perfect. I am not the man that will exemplify all six lifestyle principles. And the point is that while I think and believe that I've done well in certain areas, I know that I'm weak in other areas. Sleep is really one of the top ones. We got three children, they're sitting right there. You see them and you'll understand why. But there are a lot of things I think that a lot of us can actually say that we can work on, right? And I'm about to share with you something very personal, and that would make me very vulnerable. But it's okay, because I wanted to be able to reemphasize again that who you see in front is not perfect, and much like you, I realize there's a lot of work to be done, and there's things that we need to keep working on. So what is my personal weakness? And I think on this next one, I'm going to show with you, and I'm hoping to see some heads nod up and down, because perhaps this is your personal weakness too, especially when it comes to food. So this is my personal weakness. The chocolate donut bar. Do I mean yes, see, right? I know, I've seen some already, yes. I love it. This is the crowd, right? It is a blessing to be able to have a moment to have such like this, but we know that too much of it is gonna be bad. So let's continue on, right? And so what I wanted to be able to share with you is that what if I'd made a better health decision and not eating that donut? Perhaps I could have prevented my weight gain, my diabetes, my high cholesterol, my cardiovascular disease. And I hope that as you see, and I'm going through the various different slides, you will understand at least what I'm trying to conceptualize and perhaps what we can frame within our mind to live a better life. So let's start with something that I know we have all seen, perhaps some of us partaked, continue to take, and continue to drink, but we're just not fully aware of, and that is coffee. Now, I know I heard that. Thank you. Now, it's not necessarily coffee, right? What I'm focusing on really is caffeine, right? And I think that we all realize that while caffeine has some beneficial effects, that when high consumption of coffee with a lot of caffeine can actually decrease bone density, and that's something that not a lot of people actually are aware of. Now, what is high consumption? High consumption ranges, right? But if you look at the medical literature, it can go up to half a cup to 3 cups a day. Anything greater than 3 cups is considered more, or really high consumption. And when we say cups, we're talking about 8 ounces, right? I know here in the United States, we like to go big. No, 8 ounces is a cup, right? Some people have told me, this is my cup. And no, that's a little too much. And the thought of why it is, and you may not have been aware, is that by high consumption of coffee could actually lead, at least the caffeine itself, to block these adenosine receptors. And adenosine receptors are actually needed, and because of this, it may inhibit bone formation, it actually increases bone reabsorption, it can actually affect the way vitamin D is metabolized, and as a result, your bone density, the strength of your bone, can actually get less and weaken. And we know that as you age, osteoporosis is something we have to be worried about. Caffeine withdrawal is also real, right? We know that caffeine is actually used to actually treat headaches. And so by taking away the caffeine, it can actually result in headaches. And these are things that when we try to think, are we going to take ourselves off if we're actually drinking a lot of caffeine, it is good to be able to recognize what's going to be inhibiting us to be able to actually take off the caffeine. And then also, what do you put in your coffee or your tea? We know that there's a lot of various different things that you can put into coffee to make things flavorful, and a lot of those things are actually unhealthy. And I know that there's a new mindset, and it is not what you put into coffee, it's what coffee is put into, right? Meaning you're drinking more of the creamer than actually the coffee. So these are different things, and I think this was a great way to build a segue into something, another habit that has affected many lives, and that is alcohol. Alcohol, like many things in life, has profound effects on the person drinking it and also those around them. How many in the audience know someone that's either been hurt or killed from alcohol? Again, it's very similar, to almost down to COVID, right? You know, I want to share with you a story, but I know in the interest of time, but I'll make it quick, that one of the nurses that was in the bedside in that picture was actually driving to work to save more lives and was actually hit by a drunk driver. By the grace of God, he's actually alive, but it's senseless. And this is what made me think of him as I was actually preparing for this presentation too. So perhaps the issue, at least with alcohol, some have actually told me, is really the amount. But that's not necessarily the case. If you look at the standard drink, whether it's 12 fluid ounces, 8 to 9 fluid ounces of malt liquor, 5 fluid ounces of table wine, or even 1.5 fluid ounces shots of 80 proof spirits, the amount of alcohol remains the same all across the board. And how you can tell, you just multiply the volume by the percent of alcohol. You can see the volume actually went down and the percent alcohol actually went up. Of note, I mean, Pastor Doug has stated this in the past, and I don't know if you've heard it, but when we think about, let's say, 1.5 fluid ounces shot of 80 proof spirits, you have to consider, what spirits are we actually talking about? I'm certain it's not the Holy Spirit, right? So maybe it's not the volume. Maybe it's the frequency or moderation, right? And what is moderation? Well, medical literature actually states, well, this is what moderate use of alcohol actually is. And it differs from male to female. Either it's 1 drink per day for females or 2 drinks per day for males, up to 7 drinks per week for females, and up to 14 drinks per week for males. Anything over these amounts is considered heavy. And any drinks really greater than 4 in one setting is considered as binge drinking. Now, the reason why that, at least for males, they're able to actually have more drinks is because we found that males have more gastric alcohol dehydrogenase, the enzyme that breaks down alcohol. Does it mean we're smarter? Absolutely not. It just means that we break down alcohol faster. But it is important that really the point of all of this is really that moderation really healthy for you? And I'm gonna actually show you a more recent recommendation of the World Health Organization that actually will tell you that it doesn't matter, and regardless of whatever you're actually drinking in moderation, it is still unhealthy for you. So the question is, really, there are a lot of various different questions, at least with alcohol, right? Is alcohol use associated with cancer? What about pancreatitis? And is there actually a magical chart that will answer everybody's questions? The answer is no, there isn't. Because for each person, it's actually going to be different. And the takeaway is that although there's been what we've cited, a lot of various different studies talking about alcohol perhaps having some positive effects, I'll reiterate this again. Those were observational studies. There's nothing concrete. So how about you, right? More importantly, I'm sure some of you have actually heard about, let's say, red wine containing antioxidants or anti-inflammatory compounds called polyphenolics. That's a mouthful, right? But interestingly enough, these positive things, these compounds that they have so much touted, are actually really high in dark grapes, peanuts, dark chocolate, blueberries, strawberries, and other fruit and plant sources. And when I read that it was in dark chocolate, I knew that was the reason why it was okay to actually eat chocolate donut bars, right? That must have been it. I'm being silly, I know. But again, things that God has created that's natural, far, far, far better than anything that we can try to actually do. And I think that is what we're going to be really emphasizing this coming week. This weekend. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee you. James 4, verse 7. Especially in the context of alcohol, where mindset, clarity of thought, and control of self is significantly depressed. Time and time, that has been shown. So let me also share with you what was just recently published, what I stated by the World Health Organization. This was published on January 4th of this year. Now, as you read up there, I'm going to read a little bit of something what I've actually put down here. And I think this will, I'm hoping it'll take it to where you will better understand. It is the alcohol that causes harm, not the beverage. Alcohol is toxic, psychoactive, and dependence-producing. It has been classified as Group 1 carcinogen, or cancer-causing, by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. This was decades ago. Now, Group 1 is the worst, the most severe that you have out of the four groups. Okay, this is the highest group, which also includes asbestos, radiation, and tobacco. Alcohol causes at least 7 types of cancer, including the most cancer types such as bowel cancer and female breast cancer. Ethanol, or alcohol, causes cancer through biological mechanisms as the compound breaks down in the body, which means that any beverage containing alcohol, regardless of its price and quality, poses a risk of developing cancer. So perhaps it's about the amount, right? Well, to identify a safe level of alcohol consumption, valid scientific evidence would need to demonstrate that at and below a certain level, there is no risk of illness or injury associated with alcohol consumption. The new World Health Organization statement clarifies currently available evidence cannot indicate the existence of a threshold at which the cancer effects of alcohol switch on and start to manifest in a human body. So we don't know what that level is, right? So moreover, there are no studies that would demonstrate that the potential beneficial effects of light and moderate drinking on cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes outweigh the cancer risk associated with the same levels of alcohol consumption for individual consumers. This is revolutionary for them to be come out so strong by the World Health Organization. And it attests, again, to many of the things that our health message has been pushing out for so many years. So what are other negative effects, right, aside from what I've actually just talked about? Well, we've seen this. We hear this. Violence associated to alcohol, the addiction to alcohol, the accidents that I've just mentioned, the coping mechanisms, where alcohol is a coping mechanism. We know it's not a helpful, it's a harmful coping mechanism. Right? And it helps us to be able to just think about the loneliness and how that actually doesn't help out. Excessive alcohol use is responsible for 88,000 deaths per year and $250 billion in associated costs, loss of workplace productivity, and imagine all the families that have been broken too. So how do we apply what I've mentioned so far about alcohol? If you currently don't drink, don't start. If you do drink, just quit. And if you have a problem, know that there's so much help for you. It just takes a lot of work. It's going to take time. But know that there is help for you. And more importantly, as what I always like to say, just it is an opportunity to talk to your primary care physician or your healthcare professional to actually get the help. Before moving on past alcohol to something to the next habit I'm going to talk about, I wanted to end with this biblical text. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. In today's society, it's hard to focus. There's so much noise, right? Again, with alcohol, the inhibition to control and have clarity of thought is what the enemy wants. So let us be vigilant. I know I have a hard time trying to focus on things, and I can't imagine being under the influence of alcohol and still trying to control myself. So another habit that has significant health impact is cigarette smoking. Now I know a lot of us know a lot more about cigarette smoking, right? It's a leading cause of preventable deaths in the U.S., 480,000 per year and 41,000 deaths due to secondhand smoke. Everything that smoke touches, from the mouth all the way down towards the end of your lungs, can cause cancer. There's systemic effects, heart disease, the number one cause of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known as lung constipation, and perhaps if we've got another time, I'll talk to you more about that, right? But we know that this is really, and for a very long time, we know that this is one of those also habits that really we shouldn't start, and if you have started, you should quit. But there's something else that's on the horizon, and I think a lot of us have started to see this out in public, and that's vaping. And while vaping is not a combustible form, right, meaning we're burning something, there is a heating element. And that heating element, when touched, some liquid form forms a vape. And that is actually what is that vapor that's actually produced. But there is a lot of harmful things in that vapor, including nicotine, heavy metals, volatile organic compounds. And what do we even say, some cancer-causing agents? There are videos out there and reports out there that the battery packs for vapes have actually ignited and exploded too, causing burn injury. So, and then also most recently, I think we saw in the news about vape-induced lung injury. And that is real, right? And that had to deal with an additive for vapes because that was not well controlled. So what are we role modeling? What do we want to role model, especially as we see vaping continue to increase with our teenagers? It's increased significantly in middle school and high schoolers. Where this is really, really, I say, concerning, in addition to just having three young children myself, is that nicotine is so addictive, and we have seen that nicotine being given at a very young age can actually affect the way the brain develops. And if you can imagine having someone in middle school already addicted to nicotine moving throughout the rest of their life, that is not a good setup. Right? Let alone how do we help our teenagers actually quit nicotine, right? Or quit the vape. A single pod, right, depending upon what it is they're actually vaping, can actually contain the same amount of 20 cigarettes. That's one pack of cigarettes. It is extremely concerning. And that is the reason why, as a health community and as a community as a whole, we need to continue to be vigilant and continue to keep fighting against this. So if it's not tobacco smoke or nicotine, how about medical marijuana? To your left, you can see all the alleged conditions that they've been touted it actually treats. But what isn't actually stated are the concerning parts, right? 1 out of 10 users become addicted. Any use while brain is developing, much like nicotine, has negative consequences. When smoke, it contains many of the carcinogens as cigarettes. Why? Because it was combusted, right? It was burning. The acute effects of smoking medical marijuana, or THC itself, is anxiety, paranoia, memory, lack of motivation, learning deficits. And then long-term effects, we've seen, and something such as cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, where a condition that leads to repeated severe bouts of vomiting. That's because of the marijuana. All these things. And I think that is where we need to weigh. Right? We need to be able to think, is this really worth it? We know that there's really no medical benefit to this. In a lot of ways, sure, it's been proposed, but I think there are other ways to be able to treat those, at least conditions that have been stated on the left. We also know that chronic marijuana use can produce a lot of lung problems, and I see this personally time and time again. It's the cough, it's the wheeze, I can't breathe, a lot of sputum production. And that is because THC itself affects the bronchial epithelial ciliary chain, right? It's not able to actually clear the mucus. And actually, all the smoke causes more irritation. We know that by stopping marijuana smoking, all of this is reversible, which is fantastic. The lung changes in marijuana are similar, but not really exactly the same as those of tobacco smoke. And at this time, there isn't a clear association between marijuana and lung cancer. But I'd like to say that we're at a stage very early, and that really it's not conclusive really at this time whether or not that marijuana will lead to lung cancer. Then there is CBD, right? I think a lot of us have actually seen this, supplements to actually try to treat pain, anxiety, and other symptoms. As of right now, the only FDA-approved CBD component or product is actually for seizures, nothing else. And if you can see, it's hard to be able to tell what is the quality, what is the amount. We're not too sure exactly who's validating what is being stated on that label. And CBD also carries a lot of risk. It is well tolerated, but there are side effects such as dry mouth, diarrhea, reduced appetite, drowsiness, fatigue. And also CBD can interact with a lot of medications, especially with blood thinners. So we have found, you know, we've actually focused a little bit on tobacco, marijuana smoke. And what I'd like to be able to take a moment now is for us to be able to breathe. I hope for those that are able to, let's practice, right? Let's sit up straight And what we're going to do is we're going to breathe in through our nose, and we're going to hold our breath for 5 seconds and then exhale all the way out. You ready? Breathe in through your nose. Let's do it. And let's breathe out with the mouth. Didn't I feel great? I did that exercise to be able to test who was actually sleeping during this con, all right? And so I think I caught a couple of you, so, but it's okay. It's all right. This is a great exercise, especially when we're actually breathing in clean air. But when we're not breathing in clean air, that becomes a problem too, right? According to the World Health Organization, 4.2 million premature deaths worldwide in 2016 occurred because of outdoor air pollution. The combined effects of ambient air and household air pollution are associated with 6.7 million premature annual deaths. Air pollutants is something that I think some of us can avoid, but for many of us, really can't, just based upon where we live. I'm going to show you this next slide, and I know it's small, but I'm hoping you'll be able to see it. This is the American Lung Association State of the Air 2022 report. I've highlighted Sacramento, and I also want to highlight San Bernardino. And you can see that our grade there is F, and F does not stand for fantastic in this sense, right? So we realize that there's a lot of work to be done, but we're kind of, I guess, stuck in a lot of ways from the type of air we're actually breathing. So what can we actually do, right? Because there are some families, like this report that was actually published by Loma Linda's School of Public Health, where Dr. Spencer Huang and team in 2019 published the Association of Major California Freight Rail Yards with Asthma-Related Pediatric Emergency Department Hospital Visits. And it was very interesting what they actually found, right, with air particulates. Children living less than 10 miles from a freight rail yard were at significantly greater risk of using the emergency room for asthma than those living more than 10 miles away. The second thing they actually found was that within that 10-mile radius, those that were further out, 5 to 10 miles, were actually seeking more medical treatment than those actually living closer than the 5-mile radius. And the thought is that, at least what Dr. Spencer Huang thought, is the proposed reason is that this locomotive particulates are lighter than air and higher, and they fly higher in higher temperatures. And that's the reason why it kind of skips that 5-mile radius. And the reason why I'm sharing you this is that where we live, and especially with the wildfires that actually happen, have profound effects, especially on our lung health and the health, overall well-being of us. And so what can we actually do? Especially for those that can't afford to move or perhaps buy a home filtration system. Well, this is one way. This is not something that we created at Loma Linda by any means. This is the Corsi Rosenthal box, and it's a do-it-yourself method to be able to build your own home, we could say home filtration. And it's been helpful, especially helped out during wildfires, especially with patients who had COVID or post-COVID. And it's just something I just want to share with you, that there are different ways for us to be able to try to have cleaner air at home without breaking the bank. In addition to actually clean air, it is extremely important that we continue to also get appropriate sunlight, right? I know it's hard today, but there are many days I know being here in Sacramento where we've got a lot of sun. But it's really just getting the right amount of sun, right? Getting the right amount of sun helps our skin to make vitamin D. It resets our timing with melatonin synthesis. It improves our mood. And of course, really, what is the goal? 10 to 30 minutes a day, non-burning exposure. Sunblock is okay. I had to read up quickly more on the sunblock. Does that affect your vitamin D synthesis within the skin? And so far, there's no compelling, strong evidence to support that putting sunblock impedes us from actually being able to produce more vitamin D. But it is important, right? And I would say we would pair this with actually exercise too. So we definitely want to do this on a day where there's clean air. But in addition to clean air, it's also important to drink clean water. And I would say, at least within Sacramento, I was trying to read up on the report on the amount of clean for water, and it's great. I think it's fantastic. It's much better than San Bernardino. And how much, right? How much clean water? Well, for those areas that actually, you know, we could say if you want, you can consider getting a water filter. Get enough water. For men, it's about 15 and a half cups. For females, it's 11 and a half cups per day. That was a lot of cups. And this is 8 ounces, right? Remember that again. And then 2 glasses upon waking and between meals. And then again, ideally, plan to drink 30 minutes before meal or wait 45 minutes after for optimal digestion. So really, in summary, there are numerous things that we can do to live a healthier life. It is going to take a lot of work. And I know that I've really just touched on many various different aspects, and I thought it was important and perhaps a great introduction as we go throughout Amazing Facts Health Summit. And I'm sure that many other speakers will come after me to be able to focus more on various different specific aspects on the 6 lifestyle practices. Once again, this is just to highlight and thank the team. And if you've got any questions, you can email them or even call them. But I'd like to be able to end with this and why it's so important for us to continue to live a healthy life. And why is that? For ye are bought with a price. And that price was not cheap, right? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit, not the other proof spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. I want to thank you for your time and your attention and for working through that breathing exercise with me. It was fantastic. You did a great job.